If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me, please, back to the book of Acts. Back to the book of Acts. We were preaching there this morning, looking at that little statement in Acts chapter number 2. Where the Apostle Peter said with many other words that he testify and exhort. Think about that little statement right there. I mean, years ago in the church, there were men that didn't claim to be preachers. They just claimed to be exhorters. And they did a good job exhorting, didn't they, Brother Larry? You know what they did? They made much of Jesus. And I can only imagine, as Peter's standing here this day, I'm not trying to add to the Bible, that he's, as he's preaching this first message, you have to wonder if he doesn't think once in a while about where he was just a few days before, how he had denied him, how he had cursed, and how Jesus had restored him. I tell you, if there's anything in our heart that ought to cause us to want to see others saved and want to see others restored, it ought to be what he's done for us. Amen. And Peter is testifying and exhorting, and he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Never had taken the time, it never had dawned on me what that word might mean. And we looked it up and gave you that definition this morning, how that it's talking about being crooked, how that it's being talking about being perverse. And we know that the Apostle Peter had it right. And the opposite of that, of course, is a straight way. And if we're seeing in the Bible that in this first message there was an untoward generation that they needed to save themselves from, and we know that Jesus does the saving, I hope and pray to God we got that across this morning, but we have a responsibility in how we respond to the Word of God when it is presented, when it is preached. And tonight, I want to go on down in verse 41, down through the end of the chapter. I just mentioned this morning in closing in the message. We were here till almost 12:30, and I appreciate you bearing with me this morning. But God has really taught me something as I looked at the rest of this and then looked on in the book of Acts. The Bible said they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. Let me just say this. We could use a dose of that in this generation again. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Watch this now. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. I got to reading that this afternoon, and you know, this morning I talked a little bit about tithing and how that tithing is a witness. You read it over in the book of Hebrews, that he lives. And to be honest with you, you all have been with me for 4 years. You know that I say very little about giving. But I tell you what, when the Spirit of God puts something in your heart, you better just say it, amen. It might not have been for many. It may have just been for one. It may have been for several. But you say, preacher, you're interested in money? No. I wasn't interested in money when I started preaching. I'm not interested in money now. I'm interested in you being able to stand before the Lord one day and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I read something else this afternoon that blessed my heart. It said, thou shalt not bear false witness. So if I'm a child of God and I know in my heart that he lives and I refuse to give what he requires me to give, say amen. I'm bearing false witness. I want to bear true witness. He's alive. He's well. Amen. And the Bible said here, they sold their possessions. What am I trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say, God showed me right here, they just gave it all. You want to know why they were like that? Because if you'll read earlier in the book, honey, they thought the kingdom of heaven was at hand. They thought Jesus was coming today. And they thought the things of this world ain't going to do us no good. So they were just willing just to bring it all, to give it all. They didn't care because they loved the Savior. Amen. I'm not saying God requires that of us. But if he did, you ought to do it. Say amen. You ought to be willing to do it. You know, I think about Abraham. God didn't require Isaac of Abraham. But he did require him to be willing. Say amen right there. He required him to be willing. The Bible said here, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. How many believes that the church ought to be the gladdest place on earth? To hear Brother Ralph, the choir sing. To hear someone lift up their voice and pray. To hear the Bible read. To hear God's people. I love to come in the church and just listen to God's people fellowshipping with one another and talking to one another. The joy that it brings. The Bible said here, gladness and singleness, then it praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If God had helped me tonight, I want to go back on that church there at the end. We talked about saving ourselves from the untoward generation. We saw the Christ. And then we saw, beloved, this morning, the conviction in the message. Then we saw the call. Then we saw the choice. They gladly received the word of God. But I'll tell you something right now. Saving oneself from this untoward generation involves a church. A church home. A place, beloved, where we can fellowship one with another. A place where we can grow in grace. I didn't say you can grow. Where we can grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray with me and pray for me. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. And God, as we look at this text tonight, I pray that you would continually speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to never take for granted the church. Lord, what a blessing it is to be a part of an old-fashioned church where we believe that Jesus is Lord, that the Bible is the final authority, that, Lord, the message of Christ and him crucified is what's needed throughout the world, that men and women, boys and girls might be saved by the grace of God. Bless our dear people that are sick. Bless our people, our Father, that are downtrodden this evening. Lift up the brokenhearted, our Father. Encourage those, Lord, that are discouraged. Help us tonight, our Father, that you might work in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The church. I want to say just a few things about the church tonight. Number one, it's a people that got started in the scripture. Beloved, the Bible said here in verse number 41, and they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added to the church about 3,000 souls. You say, preacher, why is that important? I'm just going to go ahead and say it. A church that's not founded on the scripture is not a church. I mean, you can call it a church, but you just might as well call it a club. Amen. And this church is founded on this Bible, on the scripture. I feel like I need to say this tonight. I didn't plan on it, but so many people don't know it. I'm not saying that in a derogatory way, but the Baptists are not Protestants. We did not come out of the Catholic Church. We didn't protest the way Lutherans and the way Methodists did and the way Presbyterians did. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. The Baptists were not always called Baptists. There were times, actually, when they were called Anabaptists. They did not believe that you ought to sprinkle water on children, amen, and declare that to be holy. And so if you study history a little bit, I'm not going to go into that a lot, but I'm just telling you, the Baptist church goes back to what we're talking about right here, to the Bible, to the Scripture, began in the Scripture. And beloved, there's the people who got started in the church. They saw the church. They received His Word. It was a place to grow. And the Bible said, but speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And then He said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. It was a place to grow. Beloved, listen. I thank God for where the Lord has brought Olivia to. She's at a place in her life where she's between 2 and 3 years old, getting closer to 3 now. And I tell you, Papaw's head got as big as a basketball yesterday. Up there in front of strangers. Up there in front of strangers saying the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, the Pledge of Allegiance to the Bible, and the Pledge of Allegiance to the Christian flag. Just doing that for strangers. Help me. Yeah, my head got about as big as a basketball. I'm proud of her. Say amen. But I tell you what, I'd be concerned about her if she didn't keep eating. I'd be concerned about her if she was still sucking on a bottle. I'd be concerned about her if between 2 and 3 years old she didn't want a hot dog. Hot dog, amen. I'd be concerned about her if she didn't want corn on the cob. I remember her first piece. You're talking about a youngin' that she doesn't endure corn on the cob. She enjoys it. It's ear to ear in both ears, and she loves it. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? Yes, we start out as newborn babes, and we desire the sincere milk of the Word. But in the church, hallelujah, that's a place where we can grow up into Him in all things, the head being Christ Himself. When I noticed the church, I noticed a people who got started in the Scripture. Secondly, I noticed a people who continued steadfastly. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look here. The Bible said in verse number 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I've heard people say this, and listen, it's sad. When somebody gets up, you know, one man said it's better to keep your mouth shut and let everybody think you're a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. I've heard men say doctrine's not important. Since when, beloved, is the Word of God? Doctrine is what God's Word teaches. That's what true Bible doctrine is. False doctrine is anything contrary to the Word of God. And the doctrine of God's Word is important. The Bible said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. It was not only a place to grow in the faith, but it was a place to fellowship with God and His people. They continued in that doctrine. They didn't just start in it. They continued in it. And the fellowship with God's people, breaking bread with God's people, and in prayer. Beloved, listen, it's important to start right. But it's just as important to continue right. And you know what's happening in our generation? There are people that have decided that you don't need to continue in the old way. There's a better way. There's a new way. There's a way that doesn't have the blood in the songbooks. There's a way that doesn't offend somebody if they don't want to call them he and she.
let's write us another book and call it a Bible. God wrote the Bible. God breathed the Bible. God used holy men of old, and they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And God's word is not to be taken away from. It's not to be added to. When something's broken, it's good to fix it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. We are what's broken, not the Bible. The Bible will fix what's broken, but what's broken will never fix the Bible. Say amen. It doesn't need to be fixed. It's perfect. It's God's word. There are people who were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, in their fellowship, the breaking of bread. It was a place, the fellowship with God and with his people. Beloved, let me say this. I believe the Lord just through the years, listen to me carefully. Through the years, I've noticed something. And I believe the Lord may have just put his finger on something. I've noticed that at any given time, I've not heard of anything like this in the 4 years that I've been here, but I have seen this in my ministry. I've seen people that they're trying to stir up discord among the fellowship of God's people. If you've been around the church very long, you've seen that. But let me tell you what will cause any individual not to enjoy the fellowship of the church. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to put my finger right on it. I believe an individual that does not enjoy the fellowship of the church is an individual that is not enjoying the fellowship of God. Because how in the world could I fellowship with God, Brother Gale, and not fellowship with you? How in the world could I fellowship with God and not want to be with that is dearest to the heart of God, his people? So a lot of people get crossed up with the church. But let me just say this. They got crossed up with God a long time before they got crossed up with the church. And sometimes if we're not careful, we could say this tonight. It's the grace of God. We're not crossed up. Grace of God, we're not bitter. Grace of God, we're not hurt to the place where we're not in the house of God. Somebody help me tonight, because it's true. Beloved, there's a people who continued steadfastly. They didn't just start right, but they wanted to stay right. They wanted to continue in the Word of God. It was a place not only to fellowship with God's people, but it was a place where the fear of God was present. The Bible said fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. You remember this morning I told you that you start out in the book of Acts and it's to the Jew first. The Jews required a sign. You know what God did? God gave them a sign. He gave them sign gifts. It's taught in the Bible. Amen. And beloved, listen, God loved Israel. And God still loves Israel. Amen. But Israel, my friend, as a nation, has been blinded in part till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And then God's going to take the blinders off and they're going to be saved. Amen. So all Israel, the word of God said, shall be saved. What a blessed day that'll be. Let me just say this tonight. While I'm preaching today, if you don't have a really, really, really warm heart toward Israel, you ought to have. Look what they've given us, Brother Rose. Look what the Jews have given us. Look what they've given us. God has used them in a special way. A people who got started in the scripture. A people who continued steadfastly. The Bible said all that believed were together, had all things common, sold their possessions and good, parted them to all men. Every man had need, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Now listen to me carefully. Lest you take that scripture right there and say, well, we'll just give everything we've got away. Let me just say something to you tonight. I guarantee you that these people believed the Bible. And the Bible said, if a man don't eat, a man shouldn't work. It's opposite. If a man don't work, a man shouldn't eat. That's what the Bible said. And I believe with all my heart, there's a difference in not being able to work and not being willing to work. And God knows that difference as well as men do. Say amen. But I believe here in the Word of God, in this early church, there was a people who got started in the Scripture, the people who continued. They just wanted to go on and go on and go on. Then I want to give you this tonight. There was a people with compassion for souls. I want to show you something tonight. God spoke to my heart about this. Everybody that knows anything about preaching knows that sometimes it gets a little bit rough. I've heard men in this church talk about Brother Jack. Brother Houston especially has talked about him at times. He said, honey, when he started out, he said, oh, did it get rough. Now, maybe some of you all can say amen to that. I don't know. All I knew was the kind side of Brother Jack down at the hospital when Sister Geraldine made him behave. Say amen. I'm just kidding. That's all I knew. I never was around him preaching. But I tell you what, if you preach the Bible, how many believes there'll be times it'll get rough? How many believes this? If you read the Bible, honey, there's times when you read the Bible and there's times when the Bible reads you. And when the Bible reads you, it's just likely to get rough. I don't know how many times God has rolled me out of my chair, required me to preach something that I had to repent before I could preach. That's the way the Bible is. Going back to Brother Mitchell's statement, I reckon it's original with him. I feel sorry for the poor guy he got it from if it ain't. Because we only give him credit for it. But he said, if you've ever repented, you're still repenting. And that's the truth. That's the truth. The Bible is a book that requires a response. You say, well, I'm not going to respond. You just did. The Bible is a book that requires a response. I want to show you something. I was thinking about preaching. The Bible said praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We talked this morning about Peter and about his backbone and about how he stood up and he preached to Israel in chapter number 3. I want to show you something that it might not mean as much to you as it does to me. But I want to show you something. Turn over to chapter 3, verse number 11. You remember that Peter and John were going up to the temple, and this lame man was there, and this man got healed. He was begging for alms, and Peter, I'll get exactly right, but silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And God showed him a miracle. The lame man went leaping through the temple. And everybody knew that he's the one that had been begging for years. And now he's leaping. Watch this now. And the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. And all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us? As though by our own power or holiness, we made this man to walk. He said, the God of Abraham, I want you to listen to the compassion in Peter's voice. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up. You denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we're all witnesses. Now, up to this point, Peter is sounding a whole lot like he did over in chapter number 2. Let's go on. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I want you to notice the compassion. I understand that you, through ignorance, you did it, as did also your rulers. but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all the prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. He said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Well, notice the compassion with Peter. He said, for Moses truly said unto your fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, the covenant which God made with our fathers Abraham, as saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, having raised up his son Jesus, he sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Peter, beloved, he tells the truth, but there's a compassion as he's identifying with the people of Israel, as he's taking them back to the Old Testament prophets, as he's telling them, listen, you did this through ignorance. How many remembers? That's what Paul said. He said, I did it ignorantly, in unbelief. That's what the Word of God said. Now watch, I'm going somewhere with this. It blesses my heart of people with compassion for souls. And the Bible said in verse number 1 of chapter 4, as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Notice verse 4, howbeit, in spite of all of that, watch this now, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. I say glory to God. It went from good in chapter 2 to even better in chapter 3 and chapter number 4. He said, preacher, what do you mean? Beloved, there was a compassion. Peter, we need to speak the truth. But Paul exhorted Timothy, I believe, speaking the truth in love. We need to speak the truth. And Peter's speaking the truth in chapter 2. Peter is speaking the truth in chapter 3. But the apostle Peter, I believe, even he himself is growing as he begins to preach the Word of God. It reminds me of the text in the book of Jude. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. He said, preacher, I just know preachers, they're just always really hard and they're always preaching on hell. I know other preachers that never mention hell, never mention judgment. I believe that's why God said we need to be careful to preach the whole counsel of God. I believe some are saved as you magnify God's love and you magnify God's mercy and you magnify the cross. I believe others are saved when they just feel like they're going to drop into hell any moment and they're afraid, amen, and they fear going to hell. But I believe this, God knows what we need and God knows when we need it. If you know anything about my character at all, I'd like to go from here to heaven and never have to preach a rough message again. But I got enough sense to know if I live very long. You say, preacher, why? Because I just have to give it like he gives it to me. I have no choice. I have no one else to depend on. I have no other way to go. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart that Peter is growing. And Peter, you know, when you get on over there, God had to teach him. When he said go down to the house of Cornelius, he had that dream and he had to teach Peter, you don't call anything I've made common or unclean. He had to teach him. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the man in the pulpit needs to be teachable and the people in the pew need to be teachable. We all need God to teach us his precious word and his precious way. God has a way. Amen. He knows how to get to our heart. I believe with all of my heart. Here, if you read it now, there's 5,000 men saved. That's what it said, isn't that right? It said here, the number of the men. Well, how many with any sense at all would believe that there'd be some women saved that day? But there's 5,000 men. I say it's important that we stay with the stuff. We're not in the early church days. I'm not making any excuse. It tickled me to death. It would tickle me to death if my phone, if I got a text or a phone call every morning, said, Pastor, there's somebody down here at the Walmart that wants to be saved. Would you come down here and help me pray with them, help me point them to Jesus. Pastor, there's somebody over here. Pastor, there's somebody over here. Pastor, on my lunch break. It would tickle me to death. It wouldn't bother me a bit. Pastor don't have to be there, number one. By the way, you don't either. But I tell you what, God uses men. I tell you what I believe. You correct me if you think I'm wrong. But I believe they were a little bit more excited about being saved than we are. I believe their light was shining a little bit brighter than ours is. I believe the things of this world, Brother Thurman, didn't have them weighed down quite as much as the things of this. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to us. Amen. That's what I believe. And I believe we ought to look at that. I put a note in the bulletin this morning under the pastor's welcome. I think Brother John touched on it in Sunday school. He said there's times when we, you know, we're doing pretty good. We think we're doing pretty good. Well, let me ask you something. When you look at this text, how are we doing? How many believe Bible Way's got some room to move up in our steadfastness, in our growing, in our compassion for souls? We call our visitation program the 3C program, caring and compelling with compassion. The Bible said to go into all the world and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. That's what God said. And that's what we're trying to do. There's days when we have a lot of people, days when we don't have quite as many people. But I tell you what, there have been days when this pastor didn't have anybody. So I thank God for those that are going. And we want to encourage others to go with us. It's a wonderful time just to hand somebody a gospel tract, just to say, we're from down at Bible Way. Would you come visit with us sometime? It's a wonderful time. It's also wonderful, Brother Gale, when you knock on the door. Brother Jim and I believe was up on that farm, Brother Jim, here recently. And those people were from another church. They didn't have enough children to have Bible school. Or enough workers either to have Bible school. But you know what? They said it encouraged them so much. And statements kind of like this. This is what we're all supposed to be doing. People know what's right. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Bidding others to come. Now we're not the Holy Spirit. But I tell you what we can do. I believe we can be more sensitive to him. How many believes we grieve him too much? How many believes we quench him too much? I believe with all my heart that one of our prayer requests ought to be, God, fill us. That's what happened. They come out of that prayer room full of the Holy Ghost. God fell on them. Amen. And the results were wonderful. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for our people. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the power of the Word of God. Lord, I pray tonight you just continually help us. God, we're a people that are needy. We need help. God, I pray that as we go out this week and encounter different individuals, Lord, that we might be sensitive to your will. We found you many times in our life, Lord, to be working on both ends. When you're burdening our heart, you're working on the other end, on somebody else's heart. Father, you know the burden we carry for those that come in and out of Bible Way, Lord, that aren't saved. God, we pray that day would come. That day would come soon, Lord, when they would trust Jesus as their Savior. Help us, our Father, not to get discouraged. Help us not to be weary in well-doing. Help us to realize, Lord, we'll reap if we faint not. Help us not to faint, our Lord. David said, I had fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God, I'm glad for what you let me see. When Hannah and Johnny was singing a little while ago, here he comes. He's got the blood. Oh, Lord. Everything in the book of Hebrews was a type, and that Old Testament was a type of that that's real in heaven. And Lord, we know you sprinkled that mercy seed, that when a poor lost sinner could bow their knees and say, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner, God, you could have mercy because of the blood. Lord, when a saint of God has a need, Lord, you could have mercy because of the blood. When we mess up, when we get defiled, when we get dirty, we can be forgiven because of the blood. Thank you, Lord, for that precious blood. I pray, Father, tonight, speak to hearts.